This is Logan Sekulow with breaking news. President Biden calls for the end of the filibuster, specifically to codify Roe.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome to Sekulow, an interesting morning to say the least, as we are talking about a very specific subject. Obviously, we know less than a week ago, Roe versus Wade was overturned by the United States Supreme Court. Everyone celebrated victory for the first time in decades, 50 years nearly. You had the overturning of a law that a lot of people in the pro-life movement spent their whole lives thinking they'd never see, and they saw it. But guess what? The sneaky Democrats are at it again. And this time, it's not just Senate, not just random congressmen, congresspeople. It's the President of the United States who went on the record in a rare press conference, not even in our country, not even on our soil, to say, essentially, that they're willing to do whatever, including cheating, to make sure that abortion rights become specifically codified into law, because they're going to supersede the Supreme Court of the United States. That is what's happening. If you don't believe me, let's hear from the president himself, Joe Biden.
The one thing that has been destabilizing is the outrageous behavior of the Supreme Court of the United States in overruling not only Roe v. Wade, but essentially challenging the right to privacy. We've been a leader. I believe we have to codify Roe v. Wade in the law, and the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that. And if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights, it should be, we provide an exception for this, require an exception to the filibuster for this action to deal with the Supreme Court decision.
So to deal with the Supreme Court's decision, we're going to throw out the filibuster to try to get this through, and it's simply, one, thankfully, not that easy, as there aren't the votes just quite yet, but that can easily happen. And look, this is a real threat that we can't just ignore and pretend isn't real. This is a problem if they decide to, just for this one moment, to just throw out the precedent of the filibuster to, because they feel like, you know, the other things, not important enough. But for this, for the taking of human life, we feel like we got to do it.
Yeah, Logan, this is something that we warned about even before the decision in Dobbs came down. This is something that Democrats in Washington, D.C. have been telegraphing for some time now. There is a bill called the Women's Health Protection Act that would codify Roe v. Wade into federal law. And, Logan, it would go a lot further than that. We can get into some of these details later, maybe, but it would also eviscerate all state protections for life, both that have already passed and in the future. Logan, they've passed that in the United States House, and they've tried to pass it twice in the United States Senate and failed. I will tell you this. We told listeners that if Dobbs went the right way, they would come back. They would try to change the filibuster. They would either try to change it outright, or they would try to pass this carve out, you know, say this issue is just too big for a filibuster to carry. And then they would try to codify Roe. But Logan, you're right. We have to start here. Something the president is not saying. Currently in the United States Senate, they don't even have a simple majority. The filibuster is not blocking this. They only have 49 senators in favor of ending the filibuster. And Logan, when they took this vote just a couple of weeks ago, only 46 senators voted in favor of codifying Roe. There were another three who weren't there. But even that, Logan, I was pretty good in math growing up. That's 49. That is not a simple majority out of 100 senators.
But razor-thin margins, Will, as we head into midterm elections. And this is where the midterms are going to have major, major consequences, and we can't let up, because just because there's a big win out of the Supreme Court, clearly they're going to do whatever they want to potentially end their decision.
That's right, and whether it be cheating by going against the rules that are established in the Senate, or whether it is going on towards November and trying to flip a few seats in the Senate just to get it over the finish line. We'll see what they do as the days come down.
Hey, we're going to take your phone calls. I want to hear from you today. It's me, Will, and Than. We're going to be talking all about this, as well as some of the other Supreme Court decisions you may have seen today, whether that's the EPA ruling or the Remain in Mexico ruling. We're going to talk about both of those coming up. But if you have a question or comment, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secula. We are seeing right now, by the way, the swearing in by Chief Justice Roberts of the new Justice Brown that will be coming. And that's an interesting moment when all of this is breaking. You have a new Supreme Court justice coming in. And what is bizarre, in the same moment, you have the President of the United States saying, we need to supersede the Supreme Court of the United States. That's not good enough for us. You ruled in a way we don't agree with. And by we mean this specific administration. And by the way, by we, I don't even really mean me. Because if you don't remember, back before I decided I was going to become the president, I was a pretty moderate, you know, safe, legal, rare kind of guy. And before that, I was someone pulling up the creating the Hyde Amendment. This was not the most ultimate pro-choice candidate. This was not putting an AOC on the bill. However, we've seen that come up in the last few days of conversations happening. You may have seen on Stephen Colbert had on AOC and said, you know, you're going to be 35 right before the election. And that shows you if those journalists, and this is the interesting part, is they're saying, you know, he's going to be running for re-election. He's hoping to run for re-election. Have you ever had a presidency in your lifetime where you've heard this many times the president get asked, are you going to run again?
And not even two full years in. He's a year and a half into his presidency at this point.
Are you still thinking about running again? Because I don't know if you know about this. It's not going well. It's not going well. People don't seem to be too thrilled with you. So now he's going to pull a fast one. Again, a Supreme Court justice is being sworn in. We now have this from President Biden saying it's time to end the filibuster. Look, just for this. Just for this.
Because that's how it goes in Washington, right?
Just when I find it convenient. Just when I would like to cheat the rule of law. Just when I would like to change things for our own self, for what we agree with. Because guess what? You know what happens? If things flip, they're going to want that filibuster. And it just happens over and over and over again. They're not afraid to do anything when it comes to threatening any part of their feelings or their emotions that go in beyond the rule of law. Again, as you've just seen, only a week later from that decision, now Justice Jackson, part of the court. And we have a day where you have the President of the United States saying, forget about the Supreme Court. You have the Vice President saying, and tweeting out, I believe this morning, I'll have to pull up the exact tweet, but essentially saying, it's time, we gotta skip the filibuster, we gotta codify Roe. They go, we have to codify, this is from the official, now this isn't even from the Kamala Harris account, this is from the @VP account saying we have to codify Roe versus Wade into law. if the filibuster gets in the way, the Senate needs to make an exception to get this done. As Than said in D.C., simply not that easy. The votes currently aren't there. However, pressure could push a lot of these people to switch, and you're talking about there's not one or two votes. We're not talking about there's 20. And that is why these midterms, and Than, you put up a whole, gave us a whole list. That's why these midterms are maybe more important, specifically to the causes that we support, are maybe the most important midterms of our life.
Yeah, one or two votes in the United States Senate, Logan, could flip both of these. I mean, you're exactly right. It is a razor-thin majority for both of these. And I don't want to get too in the weeds here, but I do really want our listeners to pay attention to this, because it's not just as simple as, you know, having to convince one senator to switch his or her vote on the filibuster or on codifying Roe. Logan, there are a lot of procedural shenanigans, I would call them, that Leader Schumer could use. He's going to have to get to 50 votes twice. Let's put it very simply. He's going to have to get to 50 votes to create some sort of change to the filibuster. Then he's going to have to get to 50 votes to make some kind of change to codify Roe or to push back on a state's authority to regulate. But here's the thing, Logan. He doesn't need the same 50 votes on each of those. So he can convince a certain set of 50 senators to vote one way on the filibuster. And then he says, OK, a couple of you can have a free pass to vote the other way when it comes to making the changes on Roe. I'll use a different 50 votes to get there to make those changes. And you can try to get political cover that way. So I say all that, Logan, to say we cannot look away from the danger of this potential. The United States Senate, I've seen it before. This can happen. And you're right, Logan, there are 20 Republican seats that are up for defense this fall. If only a couple of them go Leader Schumer's way, all of a sudden, this math gets a whole lot easier for him.
And Logan, one thing that really bothered me about the way that President Biden put this forward today is that this wasn't from his press secretary in the White House briefing room on any given weekday headed into a July 4th holiday. No, these are the words of President Biden himself in a rare press conference. He doesn't do a lot of them. Yeah. And this
You maybe even heard this press conference. We had to do some editing, so you can even listen to it.
The mic was a little rough. Yeah. But this was also in Madrid, Spain, at the tail end of this NATO meeting that he's been at. He decided to rebuke the United States Supreme Court. And I'm going to play bite one, because it shows that he wasn't just talking to a domestic audience. He was talking to a global audience about an institution within our Constitution, within our U.S. government, a co-equal branch of that government, the U.S. Supreme Court, and he calls it destabilizing. That doesn't mean just for within the United States. He's talking on a global stage. He's saying it's destabilizing to the world, one of our three co-equal branches of government. Yeah. Listen, it's kind of scary. Play bite one.
The one thing that has been destabilizing is the outrageous behavior of the Supreme Court of the United States in overruling not only Roe v. Wade, but essentially challenging the right to privacy. We've been a leader in the world in terms of personal rights and privacy rights, and it is a mistake, in my view, for the Supreme Court to do what it did.
Yeah, it is a wild time to see something like this happen. It's not a shocking thing. They're going to try to find any way to try to rally people up heading into an election season. We got people on the phones, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of people are concerned, because if this happens and they're able to do this and supersede the Supreme Court, what does that mean? Hey, and if you liberals out there who are listening, what does that mean for you if something that you feel so passionate about eventually could just get switched and codified? And don't worry about it. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court has to say. Let's go to Tim in California. He's calling on line one. Tim, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Is it constitutional for Joe Biden to try to get, he wants to get rid of the filibuster so Roe can be codified? I thought Roe was done away with when it was found unconstitutional.
Yeah, you'd think that, Tim. You'd think it would be. It's it was ruled unconstitutional by the United States Supreme Court, but the president Can step in.
So this is a big question,
a big conversation.
The lawyers at the ACLJ have been looking at even since the leak of the draft opinion. One, the constitutionality of the filibuster, that's within the Senate's own rules. So that there's no issue of him saying, I want the Senate to do this.
Yeah.
They don't have to do it, but they get to make up their own rules. But the other aspect of what he's asking is, since the Supreme Court did do away with it, And the way the ruling reads when it comes from Justice Alito,
yeah, essentially saying there's not a constitutional right.
Right.
It goes back to the states, and now it's who controls the states.
And so, therefore, there will be a question, and especially if the Democrats are upset about the way this Supreme Court is made up, I don't know that it's necessarily the most prudent way for them to go into this is to try to do something at the federal level, because there is an argument to be made that the way that the ruling came down, because it's not found within the Constitution, does Congress have a place to actually make law based on that, or is this a state's issue? So if they are to get forward, I personally believe that there will be a challenge very quickly by states saying, yeah, hey, the Supreme Court just said this is ours.
But don't let up, people. If you understand this, you're seeing it now play out as a lot of us have, and as Than in Washington, D.C. has seen it play out. It's never simple. It's never not never. I won't say never, but when there's issues like this, when a Supreme Court decision like this happens, you'd think sort of the end of the story. Now it goes back to the states as the Supreme Court ruled. But Than, kicking and screaming, they will not go away.
Yeah, and I would say it's very rarely simple in Washington, D.C., yeah. Logan. I think that's probably fair to say. And I will say this as well. I think it would be imprudent for Democrats in the United States Senate to go down this track. But prudence does not often guide these decisions, Logan. And they really seem committed to going down this track to me. And look, I mean, this is part of the problem that you get when you get a Supreme Court that made up out of whole cloth this constitutional right. This was never enshrined in the Constitution. It was never in statutory law. And I think that's the distinction that maybe our caller needs to understand here. This would actually be an effort to take the principles of Roe that were really first created by the Supreme Court and actually write them into federal law. So I agree with Will. There's a strong argument to be made that that is not constitutional, but that would have to be challenged. That was not what Roe addressed. Roe addressed a Supreme Court decision. This would be actually writing it into federal law, and then that law would have to be challenged.
It's wild time. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep talking about this. We're also going to talk about the other Supreme Court decisions that came down this morning, the last of the term. And obviously, we just saw a new Supreme Court justice join the court as of just a few minutes ago. So with that, we're going to discuss not only this challenge to a Supreme Court decision, as they're calling for the end of the filibuster to codify Roe into law, even though it was just ruled unconstitutional, but it could be potentially codified into Roe or into law. We're also going to talk about the EPA ruling. We're going to talk a little bit about their Made in Mexico ruling, what it actually means. Just like a lot of these, you kind of have to go in the weeds to understand who won, who lost, and how that works. So we're going to get into that as well. We do have some phone lines open at 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Back to Secula. We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Will, we want to give a quick update. Also, obviously, we're talking about the Senate. We're talking about calling for the codification of Roe. We're talking about them ending the filibuster temporarily just for this, just because this matters more than everything else. But we also don't want to forget about what's happening on the state level and in Kentucky. You may have heard the show yesterday. We talked about that. There has been a lot going on in the state of Kentucky, whether their trigger laws were going to go into place and what's happening. We have some updates.
That's right. We had Frank Mannion on this week to give us kind of an update because we knew that the ACLU, along with Planned Parenthood, were suing the state of Kentucky.
Kentucky, the weirdest state. If you're listening right now, the weirdest state because, you know, a traditionally conservative state, but always this weird case of a Democrat governor and a Republican attorney general. Then that flips. And the
attorney general's constantly suing the governor, no matter who is in power.
It's an odd situation in Kentucky always, but not necessarily the best news, but we have some news.
So that's right. So Frank Mannion gave us an update that he was at the courthouse yesterday. This morning granted a temporary restraining order against the Kentucky trigger law. So that would be a law that if the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade would go into effect, which would limit the abortion industry within the state of Kentucky. And so this morning, the judge out of Louisville did give a TRO, temporary restraining order, against the trigger law. So that is a loss there. The preliminary injunction hearings will start next week. But the ACLJ attorneys, as well as our folks over at ACLJ Action, are already engaging with this, already having these communications within the state, and we will be engaging and fighting this in Kentucky to hopefully get a positive outcome and get that trigger law into effect.
Yeah, it goes down to the state level, as we said, as Roe, overturning Roe, would do, brought it to the states. So that's what's happening in Kentucky. It's maybe happening in your state. There's about a quarter of the states that have these, 20-plus states, I believe, that have some kind of law that we're going to go into place, either already has or in the next 30 days. Like in the state of Tennessee, it went to immediately to a shorter window, and then in 30 days or less goes into a even stricter law. But we're getting a full 50-state review, Than. That is something that we've been working on right now through the ACLJ of each state. And what's happening, assuming they don't get to in the filibuster, codify Roe real quick and really throw everything out the window, which would be just a horrible shame and another really big blemish in the American world. But for this, we do have this project going on right now.
Yeah, Logan, I was actually reviewing this right before coming down to being on air. Our legal team has been hard at work on this really for months now, Logan, and I know it can be confusing for people to now look at this sort of patchwork across 50 states of life laws that exist. So what we've done is we've compiled a snapshot of what that looks like across all 50 states at the moment that Dobbs came down and therefore Roe fell. Now, obviously, as Will was just reporting, this is going to change rapidly, Logan. So there's going to be moving parts on this for weeks and months ahead, but we wanted to give people a snapshot of what that looked like all across the country at the moment that Dobbs fell. And so that's actually going to post at aclj.org tomorrow. We're also going to provide people with an opportunity to stand with us as we go all across the country defending these new state laws and then also trying to beat back some of the states that are actually going to try to do similar to what we talked about on the federal level, Logan. They're going to try to enshrine the right to abortion either in their constitutions or in their state law. So we'll be playing defense on that as well, but people should look for that tomorrow at aclj.org. It'll be a great way to get up to speed at where things are in your state.
Yeah, and that kicks off our July and go kick off our matching challenge. So make sure you stay tuned on there and make sure you check out aclj.org. I say it on here a lot whenever I have the opportunity to host or be a part of the broadcast. And today I get to host. So I'm going to take a second of your time to talk to you about this. At aclj.org, it's not just a great place to support the work we do here legally or to support the media operation that we have here, which, as you can imagine, if you're listening or watching us right now, you know there are so many people and so many positions and so much work that gets done to get all of this done for you each and every day. But on our website at aclj.org or on our social media platforms or on all the different outlets we have, the ACLJ app, these are things that don't get talked about that much. The Secula podcast, new podcasts that will be coming very soon. There's a lot happening. New films, new documentaries, new projects that are coming, new partnerships that are coming. Go to ACLJ.org and just spend some time looking at the incredible content, whether that is from people like my dad and my brother, Jay and Jordan Sekulow, or people like Mike Pompeo, Rick Grinnell, people that you hear on this show, some people you don't hear on this show, because we have such a deep roster of incredible people who contribute to this broadcast, to this organization, to daily videos, radio. You can obviously get involved, sign petitions. You can get so deeply involved. And of course, if you need legal help, and it's within our purview of what we do at the ACLJ, all of that is because of the support of people who support the ACLJ, because none of that gets charged to the clients. And that's a great thing that we offer here at the ACLJ. And you can find out so much more on our website, on our app, on our social media platform. So get engaged in what we're doing here. It's not just a great place to hear a radio show every day or to sign a petition or to make a donation. There's new pieces, new articles, deep, interesting pieces that could put up each and every day.
That's right. And let's go to a caller here. We have Johanna calling on line two from California. Johanna, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question.
Sure.
I do think I heard you correctly. They appointed a new Supreme Court justice on the Supreme Court to add to the original nine?
No. I'm going to clarify that. Today, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was, it was the end of the term.
Right.
So the end of the term happened. Justice retired.
Justice Breyer.
Justice Breyer retired, right, and was replaced. So this was not a 10th Justice. I apologize if that was confusing. But today, all of that switched. And as we were on the air, I just thought it was very pertinent, very interesting, that as we were on air talking about superseding the Supreme Court of the United States, you had President Biden's pick being replacing Breyer happening at that moment. Just
and,
hours
and the
after,
confirmation
the same
hearings
day.
Were months ago. It did feel like you were repeating history almost for a minute.
Yeah, his retirement was always going to take place today. At the end of the term, not today, we didn't know when the end of the term was, but the end of the term. I'm sorry if that was some confusion. I just thought it was an interesting almost bit of trivia that as the president was on mic saying we need to essentially overthrow the Supreme Court's decision.
He's
like
destabilizing.
In the
right
moment, he was like, oh, but my pick goes in today. So pretty interesting. I thought it was just an interesting fun fact. We're going to keep talking about this and talking about some of the other Supreme Court decisions as we head into the back half hour of the show. So, for a lot of you, if you're listening over the air on the radio, some of you only get the first half hour. Maybe you'll get the second half hour later. Maybe you don't get the second half hour at all. There are a lot of ways that you can get it. Right now, if you're listening to this when we're doing this live, we are live for an additional half hour on social media platforms, a lot of radio stations as well. Social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble. We are there on ACLJ.org. Maybe the easiest, just go to ACLJ.org. You can find us broadcasting there live right now. So make sure you tune in because we got a second half hour and we're going to move into some other topics. We're also going to take some more calls at 1-800-684-3110. So if you think you lose us here, you don't. If you do have to step away now, you can catch up. The show is broadcast not only live, we put the show on the Sekulow podcast. You can find it all on all our social media platforms. And you can find that pretty much immediately after the show is over on the Sekulow podcast feed. It gets uploaded pretty much immediately. And you can find it broadcasting live again for the next half hour. I will be taking your phone calls. I want to hear more from you. When you hear something like this, when you hear that the Supreme Court of the United States had maybe their biggest ruling in overturning Roe versus Wade in our lifetime, to less than a week later having the President of the United States say, yeah, we need to just do away with that. Do away with the filibuster. Let's codify Roe into law, that thing that the Supreme Court of the United States just said was unconstitutional. How does that make you feel as an American voter? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We will be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.